Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Business Exam Room podcast brought to you by the company Doctors. And I am Randy McKinley, the president and CEO. Today, we've delivered 53 successful business turnarounds using our Forever ROI algorithm. Our dream team of experts has 115 years of hands-on experience and includes two PhDs, a digital marketing expert, an IT specialist, a media PR professional, a former bank president, and myself, a turnaround guru with 25 years of hands-on expertise with Fortune 100 companies all the way down to many mom and pops. Add in six proprietary diagnostic business assessments that show where the hidden treasure map in a business is, and you can see how we consistently deliver results. In this podcast, we're going to take the most relevant or painful issues facing a business. We're going to dissect it. We're going to take what's complicated and make it simple. Share our secrets and techniques from our toolkit, because 81% of all business closures were not due to a competitor, and 50% of all businesses fail in 5 years, and 60% make no money. So what you don't know or know and don't fix will likely kill your business. So let's get you in the know and make sure you have some of our tools in your toolkit to make your business a little bit healthier. Now, before we tackle today's hot topic, here's a quick note from our sponsor.
This podcast is brought to you by AutoEntry, the perfect AI accounting solution for cutting your processing costs by as much as 75% for SMEs, bookkeepers, and accounting firms. Learn more about AutoEntry and get your free trial started today by visiting thecompanydoctors.com.
Welcome back, everyone. I think it's about time we turn on these bright lights to the business turnaround exam room and shine it down on that exam room table and take a look at today's topic, which is a continuation of a roundtable that Dr. Dandran and myself had about a week ago related to sales process. We decided to go even deeper, and a couple of takeaways from this, which I think you're going to enjoy. You hear the word trust, relatability, and time to listen creates more time. And what's interesting is when you hear this, you're going to understand that when by listening, it will actually lead to more innovation. So kick back, enjoy. I think you're going to get a kick out of this section, and then we'll come back in just a few minutes.
Awesome. And I love how you're really drilling down and making this podcast, because I sat in on these things before, and you're making this podcast valuable information to the small business owner and manager or leader. And, you know, just the average person that wants to grow up and take on more responsibility and ultimately maybe be a leader of their own business or a leader in an existing business that they're working for. But take a step back here a second, because, you know, it's amazing when I talk with you, and we've had some very good conversations over the years, but you, the way that you phrase things, and that it just dawned on me that what we're really talking about is trust. And when you were talking, I was like, man, the relatability is putting your agenda second to whatever their agenda is. And so if you're coming across as a salesperson that, hey, this is my agenda, I want to make commission, I want you to buy this, you're not going to win ever. But if you go back to, and I butchered Zig Ziglar's quote, I pulled it up here on the computer here. It says, he said, Zig Ziglar says, you can have everything in life you want if you will just help other people get what they want. And as soon as I heard that, basically I took everything, every sales training, because I've looked at 100 of them, and there are some amazing things out there, like Neil Rockham's spin selling, question-based selling. You know, there's just some amazing impactful selling programs that teach you these techniques. But what we're talking about is trust and putting our agenda aside. And so the cool thing is, yeah, you go through that 6 weeks or 12 weeks or a couple years of training with your company to learn, you know, all of the strengths of your competitive position, the product features, the benefits, the advantages, ultimately leading to the value. But what you do with Zig Ziglar's lesson, or what you just said a bit ago, is you put all that on a shelf. Just leave it at the office. Don't even put it in your briefcase. And one of the greatest sales mentors I ever had was at Siemens. And what Grant would say is, don't bring anything. Don't even bring your phone in the office. All I want you to bring is a notebook. And all I want you to do is go in there and ask them how they're doing. And from that, listen. And from that, listen more. And, you know, I think in my first year there, I reactivated, I think it was 65. It's on my resume as an accomplishment, but I reactivated 65 dead accounts that hadn't ordered from Siemens in a year or two just by listening to people. And so the point is going back to the trust. When you put your agenda first, you're going to lose. When you put their agenda first and you find out, like you said, what's important to them, you'll win every time. And that goes to, I don't care if you're talking to a three-year-old kid, if you find out what's important to them, you know, and they're going to probably tell you a little more readily than, you know, somebody that's been with the company for a year and that is acting as a gatekeeper, right? So good stuff.
Totally agree. Totally agree. Yeah, because I think the if you look at small businesses, one of the things I think gets lost is, you know, like I said, I watch these owners, they wear so many hats, and it's almost like they feel like they don't have the time to listen, where the number one thing I think they have to do is listen. If they actually took the time to listen, they would have more time for other stuff. Because I think listening, what it does, you know, you see these businesses that go out of business, some of the things we're talking about. So where, like I said, in the beginning, that passion was there. They're anxious to get out there. They're sharing with their friends. They're talking, they're listening, they're solving problems. And then something gets lost. And so when you come back to that, well, you know, if they listen, like we did, we're one of the podcasts you'll hear later is with CRNA and hashtag cutout. And what's fascinating is that she jokes, hey, I'm the sharpest tool in the ship. Well, I think she's probably more than sharp. She's brilliant. And what makes her so brilliant is she sits and listens. And in turn, by listening, she solves problems because she's actually hearing and keeps asking questions and goes, wow, let me constantly reinvent myself or take my product and change it slightly. Well, I could go do this. Well, I think that's a good lesson for every small business. If they're truly listening, they look at what they have and where they're at, because they have all these tools that are in their business. Are they really using them, or can they take those tools and use them a different way to make something that solves that customer's problem? And the answer is yes. Many times when we walk in, we look at stuff, and so we'll look at, you know, their product is stagnant. We'll go, well, what do you have? Walk me through all the things that you have in here that you use to make money or make your product. And when we do that, then you start throwing things up on the wall, going, okay, wow, you could go do this, you could go do this, you could go do this, and you end up coming up with hundreds of different things that could be done. And then the next thing that has to happen is, have you talked to your customer to see what they really need? So the moral of the story is, if you take a step back, look at what you have and what you can go do. Sometimes I think they forget and go, okay, I have this one thing. Then you turn around, ask some of your customers, well, what do you need? And what you find is you may be offering part of what they need, and you can tweak what you offer to fit really what they need. And then now they will start buying.
Right on. You know, I'm excited to hear that conversation. You had mentioned some things about Carmen's brilliance, and these podcasts are going to be so helpful. You know, what's interesting is when you were talking about listening, and, you know, I always say, are you listening to what they're saying for clarification? And I know you're really good at saying, what I hear you said was that, but the idea of, I think what you're getting at is, what's the implication of what they said? And so, you know, when you go back to the conversation that you just had, it reminded me of a time that when I was given an opportunity to run a whole business unit. And are you familiar with the product called Benefiber? It's a daily fiber supplement, right? It's a 100% natural prebiotic. It's a guar gum, actually. And what was interesting is the vice president of marketing came to me one day and said, hey, I really like your nature of, you know, your inquisitiveness with the customers. And they had put me out on a path to go out. My only job was to go to the big customers and say, hey, what problems do you have with our systems? Whether it was labeling, packaging, a lot of these were, you know, surgeons and cardiovascular, radiology, the tech teams, the surgery teams and all that stuff. And so you'd come back and say, okay, here's the problems they're experiencing. Marketing would ask questions, and then we'd try to improve. But in this case, the Benefiber was basically a prescription-only food supplement that the company was calling a dog. It was losing money. I think the most money it had made in the history from the purchase that they had acquired it from the Japanese, I think it only made $7 million in 12 years. Well, I did a business viability on asking, what resources do we have available? What market do we have available? What things do we have at our disposal? And the biggest thing that stuck out in our mind is that we knew that if we could get out and talk to the pharmacist, that it would help our food nutrition sales in the hospital. Sounds funny, but there's a direct correlation there. And so I started doing the business viability, and lo and behold, what I found was that this could be a $1 billion product. And, you know, the stories goes back to, I think it was finally formed as an official brand in like 2001, probably. And I think they did $24 million in the first quarter it was launched. And that's a good example. It's saying, what do we have? What can we improve internally from resources? What can we use to grow this? And, you know, I don't know the numbers because it's, I think Nestle purchased it, but I know that it's probably a well over $1 billion a year supplement. So does that kind of tie into what you were saying about, you know, how a company expands?
Let's take what you said for a second. There was, you talked about viability, and I don't know if business owners understand what that means. And the reason I'm saying that is, you know, one of the things it seems like we're always doing when we walk into a business is trying to understand the market. Who's your competitors? What product? How does it fit? And doing all that research. And so what are the steps you think a small business owner needs to walk through to really look to challenge what they have and to figure out, well, what's the best way to sell it?
Well, I guess the whole conversation that we have had so far is about trust. And more importantly, it comes from an interaction, the interpersonal communication between two people. And if you look at the strategic elements of a business, the competitive position and advancing the competitive position is really kind of the goal. So when you look at viability and the steps, I think what I take it right back to is, what is the market niche that's available out there? And what do I know about the market niche? Who do I know? Who do they know? And what do I know about who they know? Those are the kind of the steps that I went through to getting to the viability. And so I would encourage a business owner to say, hey, you know, we have these resources, or here's some possibilities. But before they do anything, quantify the market return, right? Look at the return on income or return on investment, and look at the return on equity over time. Is it something that they can get in and get out? Is it something they're going to have a lot of wherewithal and stick-to-itiveness over the years? What's the barriers to entry, you know, is another part of that process. But one thing that I hear you talk a lot about, Randy, is EBITDA. And when you understand EBITDA and you understand that the financial model, right, is the most important aspect to understanding what the future picture of your company is going to look like, that is basically the first step, I would say, at, you know, then identifying the market and the market niche. Does that tie into where you're going with this?
Yeah, I think what happens is, you know, people get into business because they have a passion, right? Or, oh, I can do this. Here, you do this. And, you know, I'll buy it from you. And they go, wow, okay. So they're in business. And so they have a small amount of clients. But then they run into a roadblock of how to grow. And where it gets what I'm talking about is, do they really understand, like what you were talking about, is you're going out and you're looking at the market. How does this product fit in the market? You had a product that you took, Benefiber, and many people had it before, right? But it was only $7 million. Well, did the product change, or did you change how it was positioned and figured out who needed it? And so, in other words, it went back to their world. Hey, this fits your problem. Nobody took the time, I don't think, to understand that there was a product, and it really solved the problem. And as soon as somebody, like what you did, was you said it solved this problem, they went, oh, well, God, we need to buy it. And then it goes from a million to a billion. So every small business, I think, needs to sit back and hear some of the words that you were saying, is you have to take the time. Like we joke about putting things in the war room, and you throw it up on the wall. And what that means is, I take my products and I take their products and I take the stuff and I put it in there and I want to see it. Maybe it's a service business. I put the competitors up on the wall. And why do you do that? I want to understand intimately what they're offering and why. Why do people buy from them? I'm not worried about why they buy from me. I'm worried why they buy from them. And I think that's one of the big things that businesses are missing. You need to know why they're buying from them. As soon as you answer the question why they're buying from them, then you can adjust your offerings and then they buy from you.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's awesome. It really is awesome.
I don't see people, you know, like we've talked about this, they need to really take a step back. Like I said, the business owners, it's very frustrating. Because I've been in probably 500 businesses that are minimal, and you see all this brilliant, and it feels lost.
As you can tell, what an amazing roundtable discussion between Dr. Dandrian and myself, and what a great takeaway. Listening can lead to innovation and constantly reinventing yourself. Now, before we go to part two, let's just take a quick break, and we'll be back on the other side.
Sales up 13%, productivity up 50%, profit up 240%, 53 successful business turnarounds and counting. The go-to resource for investors who want to protect their business investments. Wish you could be like that? Well, you can. The Company Doctor's Business Wealth and Health Transformation Package can make that happen. The 360-degree approach shows the hidden treasure in every business and how to get it. How is that possible? 6 proprietary assessments. Financial models to show current and future, industry ratios for your business, cost savings toolkits, action plan summary from the assessments, 10 hours of consulting with our team, 3 monthly business reviews, and access to our 142 business competency courses. 100% money back guarantee, normally valued at $20,800, now available limited time for $1,497. Learn more at thecompanydoctors.com or email us at clients@thecompanydoctors.com and get your company treasure map and forever ROI today.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to part 2 of our podcast on sales process. We took a deeper dive, as you can tell, with Dr. Dan Duran and myself. We were discussing the things that are holding businesses back, which is holding them back from growth, which is, if you think of a couple key words that came out of that, was listening leads to innovation, which is critical. Now, we're going to take that, and we're going to go even one step further, and we're going to talk to you about how you even go about dealing with this process when you're looking at your competitors and your customers so you can give them what they want and get more sales. All right. Enjoy.
Because they don't have the time to go back to really what core was and when they started. And the problem, and you look at it, because are they professionals running a business? No. Can a business be overwhelming trying to run? Sure. Unless you have the right systems and processes in place, then it's not. But they're brilliant on one side, but they've never had the training on the other side. So then they get caught in the middle, and then now you have, I think, every 5 years, 50% going out of business. And the stats show that only 19% was due to a competitor. So it's self-inflicted. So it says that the products are there. They had to be buying, right? But they did not, going back to two parts, going back to, did you understand why they were buying from the competitor? And the answer is what I hear all the time. No. Because I said, okay, tell me about your competitor. Well, who are your competitors? And I'm like, is not the right answer. the number one recommendation, I hear you talking, it's like, you know, you're listening and you're getting in front of people, is these businesses need to take the time. When I mention who's your competitor, you should be able to rattle off about that competitor, everything.
Right on. Mm-hmm.
Because if you can do that, then that says you have a great understanding of what they're offering. And now, if you could do that in detail, then now I know if I turn around and ask you, well, what are you offering? You would immediately tell me exactly what you offer and why it was different than that and why somebody would buy it.
Mm-hmm.
You will do it instinctively.
Yep.
I've seen it every.
So just to kind of bring us back to the opening of this, is helping someone to buy from you, right? There's the sales process. There's the selling, which in my mind is the one-on-one interaction, and that could be via email, it could be via phone or face-to-face. And then you asked a really good question, is, you know, the process of viability. And so I made some notes here as you were talking, but I have this process which ties into what you just said about the competition, you know, who you're working with and what do we know about who you're working with. But the viability for me came back to, you know, first of all, what are they trying to accomplish? And then what's important? And then what are they doing now, currently, to solve this problem? And then, like, to your point, who are they doing it with to solve the problem? What competitors are offering products or solutions? And then what I wanted to touch on here, and this is probably a whole podcast in itself, is the implication. What happens if they don't solve this problem, right? And if you take it bigger to the grander scale, you know, you remember the guys that were, they're basically carburetor specialists. And if they weren't involved in racing, as soon as they had the fuel injection system, the next day, every one of those guys were completely out of business. And so I always think about that. What happens if they don't solve this problem? And then the cool thing, like you use, is, you know, if I could give you a magic wand, what would your ideal solution be to solving that problem? And then would you pay for it, and then how much? And so that kind of brings you back to the whole viability discussion. If you go through that series of questions, you're going to have a very good start. Now, the one thing that I learned, this in my MBA was this whole SWOT analysis, right? Strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. And I love watching war movies. And what's something that always happens when it's a small elite group of guys that went through a fight, through a battle? What's the first thing they do after they've lost a bunch of guys? The first thing they do is they take inventory. They want to know how many bullets they got, how many grenades, what other resources do they have, how much water, what based on that inventory. And what's interesting about what you're doing at the company Doctors is the way to do the SWOT analysis is to have the conversation, but the other way to do it is to step back internally. And like you've taught me, to take a look at the functional, take a look at the process, take a look at the sales and marketing, understand the culture of your business, understand the competence of the people that are working with you, and then start asking some basic questions like, what is your revenue per employee? All of that information gets you back to your final financial model. And then from there, now you can go out into these markets and start to capitalize. But the thing that really stuck out to me was, who are you working with currently? Because if you know your enemy and you understand your enemy better than yourself, you're probably going to be successful. So what do you think about all that that just came out of my brain when you were talking?
No, I totally agree. I mean, you hear the term SWOT. I'm a fan of SWOT, but I think you didn't nail it on the head. You are taking it. You don't know where you're at, you expect to know where you're going. Because if you don't act, that means you're already lost. So does it really matter where you go? Because you're still going to be lost. Right. And so it's always about painting a clear picture of exactly where you're at, and then figure out where you want to go. And the thing that, getting back to this, buying versus selling, there's a couple things that I think that really stick out is, do people really know where they are at? Do you know what resources you have available? Do you know what you could, it's like what you said, you're taking inventory. Because what we find so many times when you walk into a business is you have a product, you have an offering, you have something, and it is slightly mispositioned, or it just has to be tweaked a little bit. And as soon as you take inventory, and that inventory goes, I don't just do it internal, I'm doing it external. I want to know the competitor exactly what they're offering and what they're giving somebody. And if you do that and you look at what you've got, and then as soon as you know exactly what they've got, then now it makes it much easier to solve and reposition. So what you find is then that product, like your Benefiber, goes from 7 million to a billion every single time. Because don't be fooled, is if you don't do it, trust me, they will do it to you. Somebody's going to do it. And every day you have new people coming into the market, because think about what happens when you do a startup, right? That's exactly what it is. Exactly what we just described. You took inventory of everything you've got. You looked at your competitors. You're up there going, And then you go, son of a gun, I got an opportunity. And you walked into the market niche. And then all of a sudden you stop. And then 5 years from now, you're out of business. So the moral of that story is, does it ever really stop? No. What works today, but it may not work tomorrow because somebody else is stepping into the market and they're analyzing you. Why do you think in football, everything changes every year? Wow. It goes from running to, hey, that's the dominant factor, to, ooh, now it's passing. Ooh, now it's the spread. Well, guess what? Somebody, for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. And so people start focusing in one area, it causes a break and a niche, and then somebody fills it. And then all of a sudden, everything will race into there, then there'll be a void to the other side. So things constantly move. And the moral of that story gets into, you're always having to take your product and tweak it and make it fresh, do different things. Like I heard Tide, everybody knows Tide soap, right? I think it's been around 50 some years. Do you know how many times Tide has been reinvented?
Annually, 57 times.
That is correct. It's been reinvented 57 times. Isn't that amazing?
It is.
And so, like, when you go into the store, if you really look and pay close attention, you see all these brands constantly reinventing themselves, trying to reinvent themselves. And what they're doing is they're really listening to the customer. Can I do it slightly different? Because the customer's going, oh, I need something more convenient. And then next thing you know, somebody goes, wow, why don't we put these cookies in a cup so it fits into a cup holder in a car so it doesn't spill so they can eat it while they drive.
Yep.
And guess what happened? Bam. Same product. I just packaged it different to solve the problem. And every small business has that opportunity if they can just take a step back. And sometimes they just need some help. Like they grab us. It's easy to go throw things up, and you show there's techniques, there's brainstorming techniques, there's ideation techniques on how you put these pieces together. Does that mean you can't learn it? No, absolutely not. Can you be taught it? Absolutely. Once you understand the techniques, it, then you go, oh, I get it. Here's how you go about it. So usually you just have to kind of experience it. That's why we said, you know, I like the war room. It's a technique and to create visibility. And, you know, you hear it in the, you know, it probably came from watching the World War II movies, and I learned it when I was young and I experienced it, and I've taken it, you know, 25, 30 years later. I'm still using it, and I expose it to every business, and it takes the world, and so it's almost like a command center where now you're able to go solve, and everything's visible in one spot. And when it becomes visible, then you get that synergy of everybody being able to solve it once you know some of the technique. But I didn't mean to get off on a tirade on that. But the point is, people have their product. One of the things that I think causes businesses to go out of business is they had that product, but nothing changed. And so you have all these new people coming in, they see the niche, and then they just took your business. And right. It gets back to the question, do you know what your competitor is? You should know everything about your competitor. You should know where they eat, why they eat. Yeah. I think you need to know that much. Because then now you're starting to understand what they're doing, why they're getting business. And if you understand why somebody else is getting the business, now you're in a position to solve on how to get the business for them. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What I love everything you said. And what I hear when you say war room, what I think about right away is the images of a bunch of people standing around a big map, and they have land forces, you know, they have ships out in the water, and they have these long pulling devices like you see in Vegas, and they're moving stuff around. And the point is what they're doing is they're discussing, right? They're having a conversation about the option. Am I understanding that war room correctly?
Yeah, so think about what the war room is designed to do. It's really what you said. So here's a technique to the war room. Say I have 5 competitors in my small dry cleaning business. We'll just use that one as a random one. I put flip charts up on the wall for all 5 in that room. And on those flip charts, I'm going to put everything I know about that business. I want to know their website, if they have products, if they have flyers, their marketing material, ads. I gather everything I can. And you can have some, like a random admin or something. Here, just pull everything you can on this individual, print it out, and put it there. Excuse me. And then it goes up onto the wall. And then I do it with the next, and I do it with the next one, and I do it with the next one. And then people go, well, why would you do that? Well, there is a real good reason why you do that, is things get lost in translation. So if you're having a conversation trying to talk about a competitor, I may say something, but you may interpret it differently. And it's just like the story I think I used in one podcast. You know, you have 10 kids in a row, and the kid in the front tells the story to the next kid, tells it to the next kid, tells it to the next kid. By the time you get to the 10th kid, the story is totally different. Is that intentional? Mm-hmm. No, not at all. It's just how the brain works. So what happens is, if you really want to go solve the problem and you want to go figure out how to go win, the point of what the war room is, and you see it in the military and different things, is they've taken all their resources, they put it there, so they made it visible. So what happens is, you're standing around these inanimate objects. We're not necessarily having a conversation back and forth, but we would be pointing at the inanimate object, discussing that inanimate object. So, and the visual, you hear the picture is worth 1,000 words. So what we've done is we've increased the amount of input, and it helps us start to dissect and break things apart. So the war room is a technique to help create that visibility. And with that visibility is now we're able to go take what we have, you know, the other part of that war room, then we take what we have and we put it there. And would you believe, as soon as you do all that, you know, it's a little bit of work, but it's the best work you'll ever do, because now it becomes very clear how that company could be beating you.
Well, everyone, I hope you enjoyed that podcast. What a great roundtable between Dr. Dandran and myself. And a couple key takeaways, and hopefully this sticks with you. Know your competitor. Know your customer. And this allows you to reposition your product more effectively. And at the same time, leads to innovation. Plus, don't forget, one of the big takeaways that we talked about in the second part of this podcast was the war room. The war room allows for collaboration, problem solving, innovation, all because of visualization. So hopefully you had a great one. Can't wait to go see you on the next one. So good health to you, your family, and your business. Talk to you later.
The information provided is intended solely for educational and cannot be used as a substitute for professional advice and or information, as circumstances will vary from person to person and company to company. You should not act or rely upon information without seeking professional advice. Do not attempt any of the suggestions, actions, solutions, remedies, or instructions discussed on this podcast without first consulting with a qualified professional. The materials are not intended to be, nor do they constitute actionable professional advice. Transmission of this information is not intended to create a professional-client relationship between the company, doctors, and you.